You're listening to Radio Rehab, the most informative substance abuse program on the airways. Your host is Lisa Seif, who's the director of the Ward County Court Substance Abuse Program. You can pick up the phone right now and give Lisa a call at 812-424-1400. Or if you're outside of Evansville, it's 1-888-846-7867. Radio Rehab. And now, here's Lisa Seif.
Well, this morning I have my favorite person in the whole world sitting across from me, and he has brought so much hope and health back into the families in our community that are affected by drug and alcohol addiction and drug and alcohol abuse. I've got Judge Wayne Trockman here this morning to talk to us about himself, his vision, his dreams, his experiences, and his hopes. Good morning.
Thank you for the very nice introduction, Lisa. Good morning to you.
Good morning. You know, I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, do you realize how popular you are and well-loved and respected you are? Do you think about that when you're in a political position?
I don't think about that. When you say that, it makes me think about the people that I've been privileged to be associated with, who have helped us create some programs that have had an impact in the community. And so with regard to addictions. And so it makes me think of the dedicated people like you who spend a lifetime trying to make the world a better place.
The Tequila Loan. Well, I'm in recovery, so part of what I have to do to stay clean is give it away to keep it. But you don't have to. And you have taken many, many, many hours to understand this disease. Do you think you understand that it's a disease? And how did you come to understand it as an illness?
Well, that's one of my shortcomings, and I know it. And that's why I rely on the people around me to help me understand the intricacies of addiction. I'm not an addict. I'm not in recovery. Obviously, I'm similar to most people in our community and others in that it has touched my family and my friends, and we've all seen its destructiveness.
Mm-hmm. And you continue, though, to fight the good fight. You're a judge. You started the first drug court in the tri-state when? In 2001. Did you realize going in the challenges and the barriers, along with the opportunities that you were going to be facing?
I knew that there were going to be a lot of challenges, and there were, but they were not, the barriers were not nearly as tall as I thought they would be. And it's been very well received by county government, who has been a very big player in terms of helping to finance what we're doing. They've seen that it's effective, and they've chosen to support it also.
And that helps, doesn't it, to have the support of your peers and government around you?
I won't say this is true on a local basis, because I don't think that it is, but on a state and national basis, I think that the movement toward treatment along with accountability for drug addicts who commit crimes got started for all the wrong reasons, mm-hmm. but at least it got started.
That's true.
You know, we started this war on drugs in the 80s, mm-hmm. and all that resulted in was young people being handed very, very long prison sentences. And we ran out of money to build more prison beds, and we ran out of money to operate the prisons that we built. And that's when state and federal government started looking at alternatives. And that's when it became a little easier to sell a program like a drug court or a mental health court or a family court or a veterans treatment court or what have you.
All the problem-solving courts.
Right. Right.
But you got in right at the ground floor, so that was basically a way to save people from going to prison because of the costs?
Because of the costs. And I think that my biggest fear was that this program, I was a new judge. I started in 99, and this program started in 2 years after that. And I had a fear that it would be seen as soft on crime, that it was a hug-a-thug program. And so we put together an advisory board, an advisory group, made up of community leaders. And those people were from all walks of the community, the school corporation, prosecutor's office, law enforcement.
A real interdisciplinary team.
Yes, and that group still meets, not regularly, but several times a year to talk about what we're doing right and what we're doing wrong. And so we tried very hard to get the community behind us from the beginning. And we did. Mm-hmm. In fact, we were, before we had a budget at all, we started operating with forfeiture funds that were provided to us by the police, sheriff, and prosecutor's office. And
that's pretty remarkable.
It was surprising to me also, and also very heartening that they would say, what we've been doing isn't working. Mm-hmm. We'll go out on the limb with you here, and we'll try something new, and we'll help you get it started.
So did you have to educate them that addiction is an illness, that these aren't really criminals? Did you, is that a war you had to fight, or were they all pretty on board with you from the start, that knowing these aren't really criminal-minded people?
Sure, there are a lot of people in the community who don't believe that addiction is an illness, and even those who believe,
even doctors, huh?
sure, even judges, and it becomes even more difficult when that person has committed a crime or a series of crimes or has a long history of criminal convictions. Mm-hmm. And they all relate back to drug addiction. We don't take violent offenders, but certainly the vast majority of the people who are in our treatment programs in lieu of going to jail or prison have lengthy sentences and have been convicted of multiple crimes.
Driven by their addiction.
Right.
Their alcoholism.
We have more people in our programs who have been convicted of theft, conversion, yeah, fraud, and those types of crimes, mm-hmm, than actual possession, because you have to engage in criminal activity typically,
yes,
to afford an expensive methamphetamine or cocaine or heroin or
even the controlled substance, the pills.
The pills.
Oh my
god. Very expensive.
$25 a pill, I heard now, some of them. So Wayne, I have to ask you this, and you don't have to answer, but when you look at a repeat drunk driver, do you, I know as a judge and lawyer you have to have that hat on at all times, but do you, in your humanness, when you're always in your humanness, I hope you know what I mean, but does when they come in front of you for sentencing, do you see a difference between a repeat drunk driver that hasn't been able to stay sober or somebody that's dealing methamphetamine 3 grams and under? Do you think it's a different person that you're dealing with because of it being alcohol instead of drugs?
No, not at all. Good. It's not.
No.
Alcohol is a drug. Methamphetamine is a drug. They're both very harmful, and we know the long list of drugs that are abused in our community as well as most other communities, and they're all drugs. It's important for me to say that although we accept these people into our programs, as a judge, my first responsibility is public safety.
Sure.
And when you talk about a repeat offender...
I think somebody's calling in. Hold on. Sure. Don't go away.
Go ahead.
Do we have a caller? Do we have a caller? Hello?
Yes.
We have a caller?
Yes.
Hi.
Yes, I've got a question for Judge Trotman.
Oh, okay. Thank you for calling. Sure.
Do you think, African-American men especially are being incarcerated at a much higher number than other people? And do you think that there's a disparity in the judicial system, or is it more of a class issue than race, or is it both?
That's an excellent question, caller. Thank you.
I don't know the answer to the question. When we first designed this program, I thought that the population would be weighted heavily toward African Americans. It hasn't been. And over the last 8 or 9 years since the program has been operating, we've been trying different ways to reach out to the African American community. You're right when you say that a disproportionate number of blacks are being charged and convicted and serving sentences for drug-related crimes. In fact, I know the exact numbers, and they're awful. It's 1 in 9. And that's a national statistic. And that gets your attention.
Is the caller still on? I wonder if the community's perception is that there is a disparity and an unfairness toward the blacks in the community that are addicted and committing crimes as opposed to the whites in the community that are addicted and committing. I wonder if the community sees that there's a disparity. I was going to ask the caller, but...
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think the treatment community sees that there is this disparity. But there needs to be more outreach.
There's another call. Yeah, more outreach within. And I, you know, Marvelline, she's going to try to put together a group to help that happen. Is this another call? Good morning.
Yes, this is just a follow-up to Judge Trotman. I just called a little while ago.
Oh, thank you.
I'm trying to figure out where he's been with the group that he works with in the black community to talk about the drug program, because I had no clue until probably 3-4 years ago, maybe less time than that, that there was even such a program. I've never seen anybody come to our church or anybody talk about it. You know, I guess I'm trying to find out where have you been to talk about the program, and because I've never... A lot of our black people have never heard about it.
Right. We were just talking about that, caller, this morning, the judge and I, that, you know, we haven't been out educating enough in the community, but I know that Marvelline's getting ready to get a group together to do more of that. What about you, Wayne? Have you been in the black community talking about the drug court and alternative programs?
We work as a team, but I'll speak for myself. I've been to all of the alternative schools, and I almost always take a participant or graduate with me. I go to the YMCA, and I speak to the at-risk kids.
The YCAP kids. And
Yes, the YCAP program. I speak to them annually. We have a number of African-American clergymen on our advisory board. We could do more, and we need to do more, and I hope that we have that opportunity. We need some contacts. We need more contacts within the African American community to make it possible.
Definitely. Oh, there's another call. You're popular. Hello, caller. Are you there? Hello,
hello,
caller. Welcome to Radio Rehab. Hello.
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 This is for Judge Trachman. I just heard the other caller asking him if he found a difference between the black and white offender. And I'm wondering if he finds a difference between the male and the female offender.
Great question. You all are putting this judge on the deal today. What do you think, Wayne? Do you see a difference between the male and female offenders and addictions? Great. Thank you, caller.
I had the same surprise with the male-female as I did with the black versus white. I, in the beginning, thought that it would be mostly or a big a black male population, and it has not been. There have been more young white females in the program than I could have ever imagined.
No kidding.
And that's been a great opportunity, because young female addicts have so many problems, especially as...
Got another caller. Wait a minute. Are you there?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Judge Trachman. How do you do? Verdelsky Miller.
Hello, Verdelsky.
Hi, Verdelsky.
Hey, how's it going?
Thanks for calling.
No problem, no problem. Look, a couple of things. Judge, I do want to let the community know that you are probably the premier individual in the state of Indiana and one of the leaders in the country as it relates to alternative programming with the drug court and other alternatives that would substitute for incarceration, and I want to thank you for that. As it relates to how does the community feel about the disparity among blacks and other races, obviously there's a feeling that the African American community always, not sometimes, but always gets the short end of the stick when we have a tendency to be down in the judicial system there. So, you know, that's something that's here, that's something that's going to be, and quite frankly, it we only look at what we see, and that's not a figmentation of our imagination. That's the way it is, and I think the people in the judicial system know this. As it relates to the publicity or marketing of the drug court program, those individuals that get hung up in the system, the lawyers and the probation officers and all of those individuals that work in the system, we are very familiar with alternative programs that would be available to our clients. The problem is a lot of these alternative programs have various requirements, all kinds of regulations, and those kinds of things that are associated with getting into the program. Because of this, oftentimes, those individuals that are not first offenders, those individuals that don't meet other requirements of the program, are not eligible. So it's not that we don't know about them. It's not that the individuals that come before Judge Trachman aren't notified of these programs. It's just oftentimes they are not able to participate for whatever reason. So I think that some of the, what we have to do is, those of us that are involved in the system have to kind of go back and push for various regulations that would allow more participation, because we're bumping into, and I'm almost through, we're bumping into a situation where when African Americans go in front of the judge, in front of the bench, we're treated as criminals, whereas when other races go in front of the bench on a drug charge, they're treated as a patient. You can look at all of the major corporations around town, and they have insurance programs that will cover an inpatient treatment program for a drug user. Whereas when an African American goes in front of the system, not only do we not have those jobs that have those insurance companies to pay for these rehabilitation schemes, but we don't even get treated as a patient. We get treated as a criminal, and we're sent off to jail. So those are some of the regulations that are in place, have to be reviewed, and the judges themselves. Judge Trotman, you are probably, well, you and a couple of others, and I know Judge Tornado is very good at looking at all kinds of circumstances. But in Vandenberg County, the judges have to look at the total package as to what's before them before they begin to make these long, long 20, 30-year sentences on a drug case.
Very good. Thank you. Yes, thank you, Judge. What do you think about that? It sounds like the perception in the community is the black is still seen as a criminal.
First, the community should know that Brodelsky is on that advisory board, and he has been such an advocate for the African-American community. And Brodelsky, thank you for everything that you've done. And you know we're working on this issue because you bring it up at all of our meetings, and we know that it's a problem. And we continue to search for solutions, and we're going to get there because the things that you say are true. Those resources are not available, unfortunately, to the African American community as often or. As a percentage.
There we go with another caller. Just a second.
Sure, go ahead.
Good morning, caller. Thanks for calling. Hello.
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 Yes, this is Mary Hawkins.
Hi.
I am one of the drug court graduates, and I'd like to say good morning to Judge Trotman.
Hi, Mary.
How you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. I just want to say I successfully completed the drug court program.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
What a challenge that is. That's amazing. What a great day.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Mary, as a drug court judge, I have the privilege of getting to know personally all of the participants, and had the privilege of getting to know Mary, and watching Mary through her recovery, and what an awesome experience it was.
Oh.
And I'm glad, Mary, I'm glad to hear that you're still doing well.
Yes, I am. I'm going on 4 years clean.
Yay.
Keep it up.
I sure will.
Mary, thanks. I hope you're giving back.
Yes.
Good. You do that.
Thank you.
Come and see us. Come and visit.
I sure will.
Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Well, you know, we went through our break. We've had more calls. You're going to have to come back.
I'd be happy to.
Before we close, just there's so many things we could talk about, and I know you use your power to influence change in the community. What do you see as some of the challenges you're facing and how we can help you in the community to accomplish some of your goals in the future?
Well, one of the biggest problems has been identified this morning, and that is this has been going on for 9 years now. We're not reaching the African American community the way I envisioned that we would, and the way I still believe, and in fact our entire team believes that we should.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe we can... Brodelsky, maybe we need to put together a task force or a subcommittee to deal with this problem only, because usually when we meet, we have a dozen issues to deal with, and this is important enough that it should be dealt with on its own.
And you know, Wayne, I don't know if you're familiar with the KISS group that meets at Impact Ministry Thursday nights from 7:30 to 8:30. KISS stands for Keep It Simple, Stupid. But it's a 12-step program that is primarily African-American attendance. And it's strong. And there's a huge amount more of African-Americans in recovery now. They might be worth, you know, scouting out a few to put on this advisory committee for you to help with bridging that gap.
That would be the key to its success, is having a handful, not too many, but certainly enough.
And Mary could be one of them.
Mary could be one of them. Verdelsky, I know, would participate.
Carl M. There's a bunch of folks, I think. Yeah, that's a great idea to do
And we should say that we do have many African-American graduates.
Right.
And many African-American success stories. And I'm just thinking of some of the individuals now and where they've gone and what they've done and how their lives have, and their families especially, have improved. But we need to make it better. We need to make it better every day and work towards making it better every day.
Well, thank you for trying to make it better for all of us. I hate to close. This has been such a good conversation. Will you come back?
I'd love to. Anytime.
Okay. Thank you, callers, for your interest and your ideas. We need them. We welcome them. It's one person at a time. We're all in this together. Thank you for calling Radio Rehab. You'll be able to hear Wayne Trockman on the World Wide Web by the middle of the week on lisasifecares.net. And if you click podcast, you'll be able to hear his interview on there. What else do I want to tell you? Just have a great week. Do the next right thing, and we'll see you next Saturday. Thank you.
Hey, you.